reconnect.
Welcome to Love and Lordship Live. I'm your host, Greg Williams, and we're glad you're with us, and thanks for inviting others, and we're getting some good comments, but one thing we haven't heard any comments on is what's the best time for you? So we're going to stick with this early lunch on Fridays. We've been getting some good response, and hope that continues, and ask you to continue to share. I do have some exciting news. I'm pumped today for many reasons, but I've got some exciting news I want to share with you about the book and the first conference based on it. The Authority of Love is the title, and that's going to be the title of the conference. We plan to release the book and digital version this month and a print version by Thanksgiving. Make a great Christmas gift, okay? So please pray. Please pray. We're praising the Lord and thanking Him for the timing on all that, but we ask for your prayers. Now, also on October 23rd and 24th, I will be doing a live and virtual, i.e. watch parties, from West County Assembly of God in Chesterfield, Missouri, which is actually East St. Louis. So we've got a great church there, and we're looking forward to it. You can see the web and the registration pages in the comment. I'll have those in the comments along with our scriptures when we're finished here. So look at those and join us. Sign up and register. Ask others. Share it with others. Invite your family, your friends, your small groups, your whole church to join us. It's one low cost for the streaming, $35. You can invite the whole church in if you want. Stream it, okay? You'll see all that on the links. Thank you for your prayers, and I hope you can join us either live or virtually. Now, as I promised this week, building on last week's message on agape marriages and kingdom relationships, I'm going to share with you a personal, real-life personal story from my own life and marriage that I hope and pray will encourage you to strive in Christ to build agape marriages and kingdom relationships. King Arthur, you know, Camelot, King Arthur, right, is credited with saying, "In serving each other, we become free." That's a powerful statement, and it comes right out of Scripture, the principle. This is not only one of the core principles of Camelot, you know, Arthur's kingdom. It is the truth for every disciple of Christ and in every marriage and family and relationship as we build the currency of the kingdom, loving relationships. As I've mentioned throughout these posts and messages and videos and podcasts, serving and loving others is an overflow of our relationship with Christ, and all of it is in line, or it should be in line, because He's given us this, with His covenant order. The priorities that flow from that not only build better relationships, they help us make better decisions based upon those principles and priorities in life and family, in church, in business, in money, in everything, because our priorities are in line with His design and His order. It begins with the discipleship relationship with Christ. From there, it is to be evident in our marriages and families, to build stronger churches in fellowship with one another in Him. That's His plan. That's His design. When we twist it thinking, oh, well, somebody's in great need and we'll go do that, and we neglect others that we should be, then we've messed that up. If we take care of those things, He will give us opportunities to meet those needs. Oswald Chambers says this, and I think I've shared it before, but I think it's appropriate now. The call of the missionary, the minister, the pastor, the teacher, the disciple, I would use all of those, is not the needs of others. That's what we've made it. The call is the glory of God. And when we place Him first and stick with that, even though it looks like we may struggle in how we meet those needs, He has promised that He will not only meet ours, but allow us to help meet others because it brings Him glory. Now, when we do this, we are able to show a lost and dying world what His love looks like and what it's really all about. So often I've seen in churches where people go, wow, well, you're really helping a lot of people that you don't even know, but what about your family? Over and over again, I've seen that happen. And that is not in line with God's covenant order. That must not be. We need to do it according to His will, not only so we get it done His way, but that ultimately brings Him glory and builds His kingdom. Now, I learned this early in my marriage, and the simple lesson has impacted not only me and our marriage, but many others. Amy, you see, came from a divorce family, and as very common with those, there are deeper issues of trust and distrust. We discussed this often, even when we were dating and engaged, and prayed and worked diligently to both be aware of the issues and circumstances that would trigger thoughts of distrust, as well as those that would build deeper trust. About 3 years into our marriage, she called one evening as I was still in my office late. I could hear the pain in her voice, and you see, my job was an athletic director and a head basketball coach for a private Christian school. We did not own one single facility or gym or field that all of our teams played on. I remember one year, I think it was 16 different fields and 9 different gyms. Now, if you're thinking ahead, you have to understand, at any moment, we could get a call and say, I know you've got a game scheduled tonight, but something came up at our organization or school or church or whatever, so you can't use our gym or our fields. Now, to be honest, that didn't happen very often. I think once it really happened on that day, a couple of times it happened one day before. Okay, but you can see what would happen. Once I would get that call, it meant that I had to make calls to the schools, to the referees, and to our school and parents. However quickly that needed to be done, so I could be prepared for the next day or the next week, whatever, as well as I could until I got another call saying, sorry, got bumped, okay? Most of the time I was given enough lead time to make the changes, but fairly often I would need to work late to get the schedule set for the next day or the next week, as best as I could, right? Well, that brings us back to Amy's call. She explained what we talked about many times before, that whenever I didn't show up at or near the scheduled time, and then I didn't call, her default was distrust, because that's what she'd come from. It would rear its ugly head, and this had happened too many times as I got caught up in getting things in order so that I could be ready and feel good about what I was doing there, but I failed to touch base with her and give her a call and let her know. She said, if you would just give me a call and let me know what's happening and when you have to change the schedule and reassure me, it would help me a lot. Now, here's where the fun part comes, okay? I've shared this with many men and couples, and the typical response in our pride as men is this. She's just checking up on me and I don't need another mama. I am a trustworthy man. She just needs to trust me. She's calling me out. I have to admit that knowing I was doing nothing wrong and worthy of distrust, I entertained the same thoughts and response. However, before I said anything, I simply offered up a prayer, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit prompted me to think, pride? Now, you can go to Proverbs 16, 18 through 19 and find out what happens after pride, or humility. Let me give you a few scriptures on that. Proverbs 15:33 and 18:12, Matthew 23:12, Philippians 2:3, that we should have the same attitude that was in Christ, that of humility. James 6 and 10 in particular. Sum it up very simply. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. If you humble yourself in due time, he will lift you up. There are many other verses, Proverbs 11:2 and 29:23. And I'm hearing this. I'm not thinking all these verses, but I'm thinking these principles. And then the Holy Spirit just kind of prompts again and says, your choice. Whoa. So I asked Amy what she needed. And she said, if you would just call me once or twice a day, text now. We didn't call back then. This was before smartphones or flip phones or anything. Especially if something happens and you know your schedule's going to change, that would help me so much. Simple, right? I could just bow my back and tell her to get over it and trust me. It's on you. Or, and that's a key phrase, I'm putting this back on you. Or I do something to help her build more trust in me. If I am a trustworthy man, then why do I not do all that I can to help her know it and see it? Because she's not seen that before. Why do you think she has trust issues or did have? Because she'd not seen it. That's where the distrust came in. The Holy Spirit's prompting came to me again, and it really was simple. Pride puts the burden on her and would continue to lead to distrust. humility, put the burden on me to do all I could to show her that she could trust me. I began the very next day and have not missed a day of calling or texting, no matter where I am, in the last 25 plus years of our marriage. Distrust faded and trust became her default as God directed me to think of her above myself, and I obeyed instead of giving in to my pride. I don't need no mama, right? With that trust came an ever-growing peace in our marriage and family. Totally worth it. Let me share you how that what that looks like, because I'm going to close with this in this story. I share it with every guy that I counsel that comes to me. Every 100% have said something along this line. I don't need another mama. Now, I'm not kidding you every time. I'm trustworthy. Good, then show her. Okay? Every one of them shares a thought along that line. And I say to them, you can humbly do what's best for your wife and your marriage. Your call, but let me tell you what it looks like. 2 to 4 minutes of calls or text each day gives you 2 to 4 hours of peace each night. And that peace builds over the longevity of your marriage, the covenant lifetime relationship of your marriage. So you can choose to say, I don't need a mama, you trust me anyway, and live with the distrust and the disharmony in your home, or you could spend 2 or 3 minutes a day and build that trust and have 2 to 4 hours of peace a night and have even more peace as the tension fades and the distrust is gone. And you have that harmony and peace each evening and throughout your marriage. Seems like a no-brainer to me. The Holy Spirit said again, it's your choice. And I'm saying the same to you. Now you can check out the full article on this at www.loveandlordship.com. And don't forget to check out the conference links and registration links in the comments here if you're interested in the conference. I want to do a quick follow-up with another discipling mentoring situation here. I had a guy, again, lust and pornea. It's so dominant. It's probably 90%. There are other things, but we got to get through this before they can even get to the other things most of the time. It's the enemy's greatest weapon, and he knows it. Had a guy write me after, text me or when we sat together, and he was frustrated and struggled, and he said, man, is there something wrong with me? I said, yes. You are a fallen human being that will always have to battle something in the flesh, but you're also a sinner saved by grace through faith and a new creation in Christ Jesus to do all the great things that God foreordained, planned before you were born for you to do in Christ. Just keep doing them. That's Ephesians 2:8-10 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're saved by grace through faith. It's not your own works. It's a gift of God. Lest you should boast, because when I start thinking that I get it done, my flesh puffs up. Just like with my wife. Okay? It says, but don't you know that you're God's creation, a new creation in Christ Jesus, to do the good works that God's prepared and planned in advance for you to do? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says the old is gone. You are a new creation in Christ. Does that mean that the lust goes away? Eventually. Does that mean the temptation goes away? No. But you know what God says? He doesn't say take the temptation captive. He says repent and ask and confess the sin. He's faithful and just to forgive it. He doesn't say take the temptation captive. It's likely too late there, although you haven't sinned yet, but it becomes much more difficult. He says take every thought captive. Not just the ones that you think might lead to temptation, because the enemy's better at this than you are. So instead of going, look, listen, hon, I'm working hard. I don't need you to waste my time. Wait a minute. Humility places her above me. And I stop with that thought and say, I can choose pride because I'm a good man. Well, I'm just now becoming a lesser of a good man. Okay? Or I can choose humility and do what she needs. God has honored that tremendously in our marriage and in our relationship and even in our children. And I'm so thankful for that. So this guy went on to say this. Am I a sex addict? Is that even a thing? Yes, it is, and likely you are. You love how straightforward I am, right? I don't pull any punches because let's not hum and haw. We're going to give the enemy territory. Let's just call it what it is and go to God's word and truth and let him guide us out of it. Because he has and he will. We're all sinners and addicted to or in bondage to sin of some kind in our life. Pornea, as I just said, is just the most prevalent and prominent because the enemy knows it basically attacks everything that God ordained from the very beginning. Life, gender, sexuality, procreation, life. There we are. There's the cycle. And he knows pornea tears all of it down. That's why we can't overcome it in our own flesh and strength, because God gave it to us. We've just perverted it, okay? But he has a plan. And instead of us rather continuing to do what we want to do, as we have seen and experienced the destructive outcomes, we continue to go back to him because it's what we know. But faith says, even when the destruction and the pain has gotten our attention, we are so often entrenched that we can't see a way out, and we act in line with self and flesh. Pride is our enemy. That's what it leads to. But humility is our friend and places God on our team. James 4:6, God opposes, is an opponent to the proud, but gives grace and suits up with us, with the humble. Your choice, but he will respond to whatever your choice is, and he'll love you either way. But he knows he's faithful. He has to give you the consequences of whichever one you choose. We must die to self and change our way of thinking, acting, and living in line with God's word rather than trying to do it on our own. That's why Jesus could say, if you have anything, even good things, good relationships and good things that take priority over me, you can't be my disciple. The only way this works is I've died to save you so we can be in a relationship, and in that relationship, I must be Lord. That's the only way you'll get this. Otherwise, you'll keep going back to that pride and that flesh and that pornea and the lust and the greed, whatever else it is. I'm the only one that can overcome that. Christ had to die. I give it to you freely, he said. But I'm asking you, so you can live fully and freely and wholly, you got to die to yourself. And I've made it possible. When we do that, we build relationships, agape marriages, kingdom relationships, so that others will know his love. And boy, do they need it. I got four action items for you, okay? Number one, when someone asks something of you or you recognize their need, ask yourself if your response is in your best interest or theirs. Check your heart. I'm a trustworthy guy. Why do you need that? Trust me. Or, if you need that, babe, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to humble myself and not worry about what I think of myself. I'm going to do what you need. I didn't always make the right choice, but that was a good story, okay? Number two, look for situations where you have been intentionally or unintentionally prideful, and I say both, intentional or unintentional, and ask the Lord to help you change this in these or this area, all right? You may have more than one. Most of us do. Number three, ask God to forgive you for your pride and selfishness and be more aware and willing to respond to others in humility. See, there's a stair-step progression in these action items, right? You go back to, when someone asks, begin to take a look. Secondly, take it to the Lord and ask him to scrutinize. David said, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Psalm 51, after he was caught in adultery and murder. Okay, God still used him, right? Can use you. And then we go, okay, God, you've shown me. I do it. Forgive me. Ask him to forgive you for your pride and selfishness and be more aware of and willing to respond and act in humility. And then the fourth one is this. Ask and look for ways to humbly and intentionally respond and do what's in the best interest of others, your spouse, your children, your family, and all others. That is mirroring Christ as your Lord. That's what a disciple does. You need help with any of that? Contact us here at Love and Lordship. loveandlordship@gmail.com, okay? Or my text, you can text me directly, 859-229-6504. Scriptures, quote summary, and links, remember, conference registration links in the comments. Check that out. Let us know what you're thinking, how we can help. www.loveandlordship.com, and you'll find the articles, videos, and podcasts again. Now remember, please continue to pray for us. Thanks again, Lord, and to you who have given. We thank you. If the Lord leads you to do so, please. If not, ask him where he wants you to give. Please do that. I know he'll take care of us. We're being faithful. not perfect, but faithful. We're striving for perfection and wholeness because Christ is in us. But we want you to do the same thing. One of those things is to be able to not hold on so tightly and let go. I used to hold on so tightly, I'd make the eagle squeal on a quarter. You haven't heard that one, okay? So the more I learned to give, the more God gave and blessed. Not always in likeness. He gave in other ways even better. So I'm asking you to do that somewhere to be a blessing. Please continue to pray for us. Love and Lordship is here to help you live joyfully and have healthy and fulfilling relationships in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no charge for our teaching, our mentoring, our counseling, our discipleship. That's what we're called to do. And we want to not only help you to grow and mature in Christ, we want you to help others to do the same. So thank you again. We desire to make disciples who make disciples in the love and lordship of Christ in every home and church. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. God bless and make it a great day and weekend in Christ.